a grade two teacher who was teaching her class some science. And in that science class, they were learning about magnets. So they took a whole day and they were learning all about how magnets work and magnetization and all that fun stuff. And the next day, there was a test. And in this test came a question. And the question was, my full name has six letters, and the first one is M, and I pick up things. What am I? Well, the grades came in a couple of days later, and the teacher was quite surprised at the result. 50% had written mother, not magnet. Six-letter word, it starts with M, and it picks up things. You do the math. There we go. Amen, Sherry? Amen, mothers? You pick up things? There you go. You all know that, right? Well, happy Mother's Day to you. Just a little bit of history for you. Do you know that the idea for Mother's Day was born in a small Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia in 1876? The nation of the United States was mourning the loss still of their sons in the Civil War. And while teaching a Memorial Day lesson, Mrs. Anna Reeves Jarvis thought of mothers who had lost their sons during the Civil War. And she really desired to have a Memorial Day for mothers. There is a Memorial Day, of course, in the United States, but she wanted that. And this desire went on to one of her daughters, who was named Anna Jarvis. And on May 12, 1907, a local observance was held, which later spread to Philadelphia. By 1910, Mother's Day was celebrated in 45 states, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, and also Canada and Mexico. Very elated, Mrs. Jarvis told friends, "Where will it end? Must be left for the future to tell," she says, "that it will circle the globe, which now seems certain." Finally, on May 8, 1914, President Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day for displaying the American flag and for public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of the country. Very interesting. I don't know if maybe some of you already know that history, but just a nice reminder for us today of our own mothers. Maybe you don't have a fond remembrance of your mother. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you're sitting by your mother today. Maybe you aren't. And maybe you're not a mother, or maybe you're a mother-to-be. But we're going to look at a scripture today. It's a little bit different, but it's a mother who lost her son and two mothers that are arguing over the existence of their sons. So we're going to look at this kind of interesting passage in 1 Kings chapter 3. Before we do, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give you this message. We give you your word. And we know through what your word says in Isaiah 55 that it goes forth and does not return void, accomplishes what it is intended purpose for it to do. And so we pray that through this message that you would be glorified, that whether we are male or female here today, mother or not, that we will be able to be encouraged and have some contemplative moments in this time of looking into your word. And we just lift it all to you, Lord Jesus. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be pleasing unto you this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 16. 1 Kings 3, starting at verse 16. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your servant was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had borne. The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine." So they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says my son is alive and your son is dead. Well, that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive." Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I or you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling. "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Well, this is a little different story from Mother's Day, isn't it? Talking about cutting babies in two. Like, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Why in the world would you choose this passage? Well, I could have chose the wonderful 2 Timothy passage about Lois and Eunice, and that's a wonderful passage. There's other passages. But I think there's something lying in this passage about the heart of a mother and what a mother's heart is that speaks to us today. And so don't get totally caught off guard by the dramatics of this passage, but see the underlying script and the message, not only for mothers, but for all of us as a church here this morning. So it truly does show the heart of a mother, shows the wisdom from God, and the wisdom that Solomon had just asked for earlier in this passage, God helps him to use as he gives this verdict. Why would a king be a judge between two prostitutes? Well, we don't know for sure, but I think, knowing Solomon's past, he was the product of an adulterous affair that David had with Bathsheba. So I think maybe there might have been a little bit of a connection there emotionally. I don't know. But he definitely had compassion and wanted to judge wisely here. So what does this passage show us about mothers? Three things I want to talk about in three words: care, despair, and share. Care, despair, and share. So a caring heart, a despairing heart, and a sharing heart. So I think there's a picture up there, if you can get it, Dave, of just a little bit. I don't know if you can really see that, but found this on the internet. Just gives us a picture of what that could have been like, that moment when there is that judgment between the two. Can you just get in your minds for a moment the angst in the situation? Arguing, two women, a king, a court, yelling was happening, right? No, she didn't do it. No, it was me. No, you. No, me. No, you. Right? Back and forth and back and forth. So just a picture for us to think of as we move through this. There's a deep level of care. And I think that's one of the reasons why these women came to Solomon to have this judgment made. There's a deep level of care in a mother's heart and in the heart of most women towards children. Our mothers care deeply for us. For 9 months, they carried us, right? And there are mothers here today that have never been biological mothers, but still care deeply for children of all ages. And we are thankful for all of you mothers. Even though one of these mothers made a mistake in judgment, we see that by rolling over on her child. That's basically what is said here. And suffocating her child. And even though these children, because they were children of prostitutes, came out of an adulterous action, there's still a mothering instinct there in all women oftentimes. It's interesting to note in regards to, I just did a little medical study, a brief medical study of suffocation of babies. Interesting to note. there that you can see the stats, that sudden infant death syndrome, where there's about 3,500 infants die every year in the United States from sleep-related deaths. And sudden infant death syndrome has been falling, but the accidental suffocation and strangulation in bed has skyrocketed 184% from 1999 to 2015. Crazy to think about that. So not just an Old Testament, but it's gone throughout our society and our culture, and it's just, it's happening, and it's truly devastating. And can you get in your mind, ladies, mothers, just for a moment, what that would have been like for that mother to wake up on that day and have see her dead baby, like lying there? Sad. And that she was responsible for that? Very, very hard to think about that, wouldn't it be? Maybe some of you know someone who's had that happen to them. Maybe something like that has happened to you, I don't know. But you don't know where your emotions go at those moments, right? And out of that heart that deeply cares, and mothers deeply care, that oftentimes mistakes happen. And overcare sometimes by a mother can lead to despair. Overcare can lead to despair. What does that mean? Well, sometimes you want to care so much for your child that you end up hurting your child instead of caring for your child, right? And like, you know, co-sleeping and those kind of things, and all of you may have your own opinions on that, and I respect those. But sometimes some of those things can be very difficult, very hard. Because as mothers, you want to do the right thing and raise your children well. Amen, mothers? You want to do that, and you want to do it well. And sometimes when something bad does happen, mothers don't know where to turn. And embracing despair or the signs of despair is much better than trying to cover up, trying to, you know, take it all on yourself and be that strong super mom kind of thing, right? And I want to talk about that for just a minute. Sometimes as, well, as dads or as moms, but moms especially, you want to take it all on and you want to be everything to everyone and be everything to your kid. And that's okay, but at the same time, you need to have that support system. And I want to say publicly, I appreciate those who started MOPS, because that really helps. That's one tool that can help mothers that are dealing with issues like that, that feel that there's too much stress in their life. They just can't handle things. Don't try to bury it. You need to share it. You need to bring it out in your life and in your walk. And that's true for anybody, men, women, but especially mothers. Be willing to share. Be willing to ask for some care. 3 years ago in June, we mentioned we lost a son, almost a stillborn little boy. And his name is Micah. And so there's a lady who was very compassionate, and she came, she was from the Pentecostal church, and she came over and in her compassion gave my wife a little, it's actually a little bit scary, but a little doll that looked like a dead baby, which is something that I guess helped her, but you know, we were very thankful for it, but the heart in which she gave it, that she didn't want Sherry to bear the burden alone of losing a child. That's, we need to be, and I want to say, church, today, that we need to be open about talking about those things. We need to be open about talking about infanticide. We need to be talking about these key issues, like what some of those stats we just talked about. We need to be open about miscarriages, stillborns. These things shouldn't stereotype us, shouldn't be something that's hidden in the closet as something that, well, we're somehow less of a Christian because we had a miscarriage or we're cursed in some way. I've heard people and Christians talk about this. I myself do not believe that. But I think we need to be careful how we use our language, how we talk to one another in these ways. We need to be caring and lifting one another up with our words. Paul says to us in 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, so also our comforts abound through Christ. So many of us, all of us, have been comforted in some way through our troubles in Christ, so that we can comfort others. I know Sherry's been able to comfort others through what she has experienced in losing not only one, but three babies, right? Many of you have gone through trials, tribulations, troubles. We can comfort others, come alongside others to care for them in a deeper way because of the trials that we have gone through ourselves. So we can care. We need to enter into and walk alongside people in despair. So the second thing, the first point is care. Second is despair. So in their despair, these two mothers brought their case before King Solomon. The despair in the one mother who had lost her son turned to bitterness and envy, grief and shame, trying to cover up her mistake. And bitterness was there. She was in a very emotional state of upheaval in her system and in her mind. And again, as mothers, you cannot do it alone. You need to reach out for help. You need to have someone there that you can talk to, so that envy and grief do not overcome you, and you don't give into the supermom complex, as I mentioned before. Because we can, whether it's something as graphic as this, or as just like, well, I let my kid get into the wrong cupboard and they cut themselves. I'm a horrible mother. It's terrible. You need to be able to forgive yourself, mums. Don't be so hard on yourself. Amen? Right? We need to not, yeah, you need to keep a standard. That's good. But at the same time, don't be so hard on yourself. Be willing to forgive yourself. Be willing to forgive yourself. I ran into a very despairing moment in my life in ministry. One of the deepest walks of despair I've ever had to walk with a family. The year was 2015, and it was March. I was just about to do a funeral of a wonderful saint in our church, 92 years old, when I had a knock at the door. And it was a young family that I had been helping do marriage counseling with, and they had tears in their eyes, and they came to me and said, could you do the funeral of our 17-month-old little daughter? Wow, what despair filled my heart. This little girl had been playing with her brothers and had got slightly injured, but nothing that seemed too serious, but then was taken to hospital and died 2 days later in her mother's arms. Folks, when you look at the dead body of a 17-month-old little girl in a casket, that's really hard. And your daughter's only a few months difference in age. For a moment, I could relate to the woman in this story. Great despair. Great despair. It hurt so much. Don't hold it inside. Because there are women who hold it inside, and you probably heard on the news many different stories, but one in particular came to mind this week as I was thinking about this passage. A woman in Edmonton locked the door in the bathroom and took the life of herself and her two children, and her husband came home and found them. Despair brings death. That's why we need to care for one another. Walk alongside and be open about these things. And I know I want to speak to you, some of you in the older generation. I know it's hard for some of you to talk about these things. My mom has mentioned some of that. It's hard for you to be open about some of the hard things you've gone through. But us as this generation need you to talk. Please. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you, seniors. Please. Put aside the stereotypes. Put aside your respect. And talk to us. Talk to the younger generation, please. And share with us some of your heartaches, how you've dealt with them. It's hard to walk through some of these things in life. And we need that. Not saying that it would totally change some people's decisions, but I think it would make a big difference. And I thank you to you seniors who have done that and are doing that and being open with some of the struggles that you've gone through in these ways. The second mother here in the story wanted to feel that, have that first mother feel the same pain as she did. But the first mother was willing to share, and likely her only child, with a woman who had just tried to switch children with her. Think about that for a minute. She was willing to give her alive son to a woman who had tried to switch their babies. What compassion. Think about that. What care? Would you be willing to do that? An old saying says, true love is only true if you're willing to give it away. True care can come out of despair because we can relate to one another. Then we can share in the grief of others. It's been amazing to see Sherry and how she shared with the different people the grief that she's dealt with in her life, and the grief that I've been able to share it with in others as well. And so I ask all generations, we need to share these things, not so that we sit around and just with our Kleenex boxes just for the sake of that. And some of you may have a real hard time with that because of just you're growing up and you're just not able to express your emotions in that way, or never are able to do that. But we need to walk alongside people to be able to help them, to build them up, to encourage them. The Bible says to us in Galatians that we are to carry one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So we're sharing. Let's talk about sharing for just a couple minutes. We don't know if these women had any other children. Likely not, because it says we were alone. There was not anyone else in the house but just the two of us. But this one woman was willing to give up her only son to a woman who didn't deserve it. And of course, I'm sure it brings to your recollection our Heavenly Father, who was willing to give up his one and only son for those of us who didn't deserve it. What an act of love. What an act of sacrifice. An act of compassion. That is the love of our God, the love of our Father, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's also a love that is in mothers and can be in each mother here today. Jesus said to us in John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And by this all people will know that you are my disciples, by your love. What kind of love is that? A self-sacrificing, a laying down of your life kind of love. A caring love. One that walks through despair with people. Comforts them, comes alongside them, helps them. A one that comes and says, when you see a mom trying to be a super mom and she can't be, saying it's okay. That there's 5 toys on the floor right now. It's okay. You don't need to pick those up. It's okay, right? It's okay that, you're feeding your kid from a bottle instead of from your breast. It's okay. You know, it's all right. We can talk about these things, okay? That kind of love, showing grace and allowing that grace to empower you as people to build up the church in this way. May our care be Christ-focused. May we walk through that valley, the valley of the shadow of death, that despair, and share with one another the burdens that we have, so that the world may know what we're about. That as mothers, we have a chance to show the world Jesus Christ, right? You as mothers have the chance to show the world who Jesus is, right? And I think that, and as ladies and as men and as a church, we have a chance to show the world who Jesus is. And show that wisdom. And we see here with Solomon, the wisdom that he gave in this ruling was one that was based on compassion. He saw what this mother was going through. He saw that she was willing to give and willing to give up things. And I want to say to you mothers today, thank you for what you've given up. You've given up a lot. You've laid down your life for your kids. And I want to thank you. And we want to, and some of you here want to say thank you to your own moms. Maybe they're not here anymore. They're with Jesus, for being who they are. Thank you for laying down your life, taking up your cross, and for the faith that you've passed down to this generation. Thank you for the mothers currently that are passing the faith along to the next generation. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I want to say here this morning, if you are a mother here this morning, or if you are a person here, father, whatever station in life you are, single, and you're despairing about something, we have a Savior who wants to take that despair and help you. Don't bear it alone, please. If you're despairing about something, if there's something in your life you feel that a sin that you've committed or done something wrong that you've just been bearing all this time and you just can't take it, be willing to just release that to God now. And we're willing to, if you want someone to talk to, I'm here to talk to you after the service. Please come talk to me privately or my office. It's open. Or phone me during the week. We don't want you to bear this burden alone, okay? If you're a mother, if you know another lady in this congregation that you're close with, talk to them. Be willing to open up, because we don't want you to bear a burden alone. And again, mothers, thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us the love of Jesus. And finally, I want to talk to those of you who maybe had a mother that you didn't like very much, or maybe you had a mother that didn't treat you very well, or maybe you just didn't have a mother at all. Maybe, I don't know if some of you are adopted and you don't know your mother, birth mother, and you just didn't have a good experience. I'm sorry for that. I'm really sorry for that. And I pray that there has been, or hopefully will be, some lady in your life that can at least be a sister to you and to be a mother figure in your life. So I want to pray for mothers, and I'm going to have Kevin come up and close us off. We're going to be a little shorter today, which is good, so you can spend more time with mom. So, and then I'm just going to get you to reflect as we watch a video to close. We're going to sing a song together, and then there'll be a tribute video to mothers to close our service together. But I want to pray for all of us today. Lord Jesus, thank you for this text that shows the heart of a mother. The heart of a mother that cared, two mothers that cared, two mothers that walked through despair, two mothers that shared together. And I pray that you would help us as a church to take these simple but profound emotional concepts and walk them out in wise ways, Lord. Help us, help mothers to walk them out. And Father, I pray specifically for those who may be feeling a real sense of bitterness or despair or frustration or just being overwhelmed, Father God, as a mother. And I pray for you to lift their burden, Father. Father, your word does say to us, come to me, all you're weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And Father, it's easy for us to quote those verses, but again, when we're in the midst and the crux of a very stressful or anxiety-filled situation with kids, it's hard. And so I pray, Father, that if there is someone bearing, and a mother especially, bearing a burden that they haven't shared with anyone here, that they would share with somebody before they leave today or make an appointment to talk to somebody. And so we just lift them to you, and I again thank you for mothers, for ladies here today, for those who maybe again haven't had a good relationship with their mom or have bad memories of that, that you would just touch each and every heart, each and every situation, Lord, and help us to come alongside, to care, to walk through despair, and to share with one another. For your kingdom's sake, for your glory. In Jesus' name.